I've gotten there, some chaburim have already been on these topics. So we'll begin with Siyata Dishmaya. We'll start with in Simen Nun Gimel, reference is made to Takanas Shum. Please turn if you don't mind. Yeah, if you have a Shulchan Aruch, Simen Nun Gimel, I'm not sure who has what. But I'll read it to you. In Sif Gimel, I think it is. I just took one from there. I don't know if there's another one. I'm not sure. But anyway, I'll read it. O tikter amen atam mechach meit zorfas. Shachach for nosan ha'avna ha'adunya. Emeso ha'isha o ha'ish. Toch shana rishona. Belozera kayama. Chozer ha'kol la'avo li'oshi ha'meis. This is the Tosis in Masechta Ketubos. Talks about it. Some say it's true medina de Gemara, and some say it's only true mishum takana. V'yashom ad b'shana shnia, half goes back. V'chen ha'minig poshet b'medinas elu, sh'no again, b'zeh ke takonas kehilos shum. Takonas shum. Okay. Shum, everyone knows what shum is. You might use that. Shum is your baby. We have experts in Minhagei Ashkenaz who are sitting here, mamish. This is a gevaldige chabura for you, for sure. Shpar of Ramayza Magensa. Fine. Let a piyutim come from there. Okay. Says the Beit Beishmuel. Fizeh. Afilu lo nichtav. Bitznoim. Masha minig lichto. Makmas idur ktat. Yabak et hakon ashum. Havikilu lo nichtav kein. Kein kosta bechalkas mechoke. Kein mochudak emoshe. Kol anosi al das minig unose. Fine. I have to know the minig. Adka. So the question becomes, what does this mean? The whole discussion here in Simen Nun Gimel.
What was going to be just reading?
I was reading the Ramah. In Simen Nun Gimel Gimel, and I'm reading the Beis Shmuel, Sif Katan Tes Zayin. So, fortunately, we have a Nachlat Shiva, which is the source for all the Shtaras, as you probably are aware. And the Pisachet Shiva quotes it in Sif Katan Yud Gimel. Look at Nachlat Shiva, Medinei Tunayim Achronim, Simen Tes. Tnoim Achron, what does it say? Tnoim Achron, it's Tnoim Rishonim, it's Simen Ches, and Tnoim Achronim, it's Simen Tes. Tnoim Rishonim, what we call in our language Tnoim, the old days, they just mishribe Tnoim at the engagement. That's to prevent the couple from backing off from an engagement frivolously. That's Simen Nun. It's very important, we'll get to that a little bit later. People would back out for no reason. So you're jilting the Chosna, jilting the Kala, it's not fair. So you accept upon yourself a humongous penalty, in case you back out. And if you do, so you'll pay the penalty. Now, these days, in most of our circles, you don't find this anymore. Is that correct? Correct. I'll tell you one story from many years ago. There's a fellow from our yeshiva, got engaged to a girl from a wealthy family with a European kind of a background. They signed regular tenoyim. They put in large amounts of money. If I recall then, I think it was $100,000. Either side backed out from the shidduch. And guess what? The girl backed out. Her father was a gentleman and gave my friend the chosn $100,000.
Not the father?
The father of the...
No, but you should give the father the chosn, not the chosn.
Whatever we gave today. The man who gave the chosn $100,000. So we said that the chosn was very distraught and upset, etc., etc. But 100,000 cups of sugar makes the medicine go down a little bit easier. So and then, I never followed her. I assume she got remarried someone. He married. I know he married. He seems probably forgot it. Mostly, didn't quite forget, but put it out of his mind. That's tnoim. That's tnoim rishonim done at the time of the engagement. So what's tnoim achronim? This is being done b'shas achupa. It's the first line. They make it. So we have tnoim which we write at the shas achupa. That's what all these things are going to back out is an absurdity. At the Shabbos Chuppah, who's backing out? I mean, I know of no cases where they actually signed Tanoim at the Chuppah and one party backed out subsequently. Has anyone ever heard of such a case? I mean, they're at the wedding hall. They're both at the wedding hall already. I've never heard of a case. I heard a guy, the guy didn't show up at the wedding hall, she didn't show up, that I've heard. But they're both in the wedding hall and they still didn't get married. Never heard of it. Do you hope we can maybe find a case that maybe in the movies they have that way, maybe. Speak now if I hold your peace, you know, but in real life, I never heard of such a case. So therefore, Rav Moshe, Zichron Levracha, took all the stuff out of the Tanaim. I may have kept a copy. I brought a few of my things I used for some of the other Shirim. And I have Rav Moshe's Tanaim, which say absolutely nothing. It says, this is what you've seen all the time. The Skyma called the Chiyuvim to the Chosn, the Kala, Kala to the Chosn, and he's going to marry her, and then they shouldn't hide from each other any money, and they should split the money 50-50, which, by the way, if it really means it, is what we call today community property, which is a law in California. But the most public say that's just it doesn't mean anything. It's just there for show. If you look at the Ulster Post, it talks about that. Not a topic for today. And they sign their name, they pick up a handkerchief, the two fathers, and it's gone. This is the Tanoim that we have, known as Rav Moshe's Tanoim. On the other side of my page, I have the classical Tanoim. And the classical Tanoim, you know, he's gonna make sure he clothes his son, and he's gonna clothe his daughter. All these good things are gonna be happening. And it says over there, if anyone backs out, there's gonna be knas and a cherim, and the knas won't part of the cherim, the cherim won't part of the knas. This is scary stuff. Scary stuff. I mean, Moshe's right to take it out from today's term. It's ridiculous. No one's going to back out at this point in time. Just to say, Moshe took that whole thing out. Took it all out. Have Orev Kablin. Yeah?
What happens if after that you get to the Ksuba and then you find out that the Kala's father is the same name as the Chassan, and then they don't want to go?
In the movies that happens, but it doesn't happen in real life. So an Orev Kablin, as you may know, is someone who takes responsibility. For what? For the Knas. That makes sense at the time of the engagement, at the time of the wedding. So, I once saw one of these Ksuvas, this Tanoim, and they didn't know what he was doing. For the Arab comedy, put in the father of the Chosn all over again. You know what? I mean, what Ayin Kuf meant, it's Rosh HaTeh, it was Ayin Kuf. And then it says, if there's an Arev who loses money, you have to pay the Arev back. Okay. But then it says, Machmas either Uktat Yisnagu Ketakonas Shum. That's what we saw quoted in the Pesach here in Simon and Gimel. Again, you want to look it up. Sivkot and Yud Gimel. From Nachla Shiva, Simon, Tess. So what does it say there? So I'll read it to you. Read it from the original. Okay? Either, we know what either is. I mean, if one party dies, the Ramah, Simon and Gimel, Siv Gimel. If he dies or she dies the first year, everything goes back. In the second year, half goes back. That's either. What's Ktat? What does Ktat mean? Because it doesn't say in the world, what does it mean? What does it mean? I read it to you. V'imchas v'sholem she'yase kemar ploni anal zugos v'mars plonis ezo dvorim she'en yechol l'disbol u'tzrichol l'bezdin. You know what that means. Az teichel v'miyad yitin la'asor z'uvim l'pizim mezonis 10 gold coins. We don't know exactly what that's worth now. That's what it says. What does that mean? So it means if it's going to be a fight, he has to give money. Why? To support her. What do you mean? Asking about this? He always has a supporter. So what's it's not the whole year about his obligation of supporter. What's new over here? You get an impression there's some new obligation of support which he accepts upon himself, which is not necessarily be required to do. Maybe get rid of this. Otherwise, what's new over here? Maybe you just want to quantify it. But even the fact that they quantified 10 gold coins immediately and every month. Okay? But there's something new is going on over here, whether it's just a quantification or more likely even an acceptance of something beyond, which would not necessarily be obligated upon the chosn were it not for this piece of paper. Pashup Shah. Fine. So as you probably have surmised by now, there's a prenup. There's a prenuptial agreement between the chosn and the kala, right? And Mechutonim actually for more. Although it does say, yeah, who signs it? It's a little bit tricky. Who signs this piece of paper? Who signs? Doesn't say at the bottom who signs this. It says, "Hanishnei Tzadim." Oh, they have everybody here. They have the Ploni, and the Chosn. Our the Chosn is even silent. Who am I? Here they have the father and the Chosn, and the father and the Kalah. It's important for our purposes. Okay, you with me so far? Okay. This is the idea of Nachas Shiva Siman Tes, which is found in every standard Talmud. Once said a very chashuv Rosh Hashiva was called to read one of these things, was totally taken aback. Okay, he reads, Masktat v'ider chas v'sholim b'snarke t'akonas, and he stops. He says, a shin, with a vav, with a mem. He doesn't know how to read it. Sholem Eshiv, Shul Matzosi. He just stopped. And then took a long pause, and he said, v'kanina, the next word. So he wasn't aware that it means Shpire v'maizem magensa. A little surprised, but that's what it means. Fine. So of course the question becomes, is this document a precedent for a prenuptial agreement that has been suggested in more recent years? Yes or no? So I thought the answer was yes. And therefore it's not something which is totally new, but something which is actually very, very old. And why is it important that it's old rather than new? For two reasons. One, people don't like new things. People like old things. Chodesh Asa Menat Torah. And number two, if there are any halachic issues which could be raised with something which is suggested more recently, if you come back and you have a precedent going back all the way to Nachla Shiva, which is the Talmud of the Taz, and Takot Shum, which is in the, what do you say, probably the 12th century, to estimate, something like that?
Since Rabbein Tam, no?
Well, Tam is the first part, but Shum came obviously after Rabbein Tam. Obviously after Rabbein Tam. 13th century,
something.
No, I understand that, but Takonos Shum, as such, yeah, somewhere around that, you know, the Taz lived in the 17th century. So you're going back another 4 or 5 centuries. They have a lot of precedent. So the question is that true? Is it a good precedent or is it not a good precedent? Of course, what are the problems with a prenuptial agreement along these lines? Are there any halachic problems which are involved? So the answer is that there could be two potential problems which we have to discuss one after the other. One is a question of something which is called a knas. Now, this really belongs more in Hilchas Gittin than in Hilchas Ksuvos. I'm just going to go through it briefly, but it's important to understand that it is an issue, and an issue which has been dealt with, and people have come to different conclusions about whether such an obligation might be categorized as a knas or not a knas. And the reason why it's relevant, because it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and later on, this is next year's limit, I think we're going to get it next year. So if you may remember, we'll talk about it again, perhaps. The Ramah writes in Siman Kuf Lamed Dalid Sif Dalid, Im Kibal Ola Knosso, so Yigarish, Lo Mikri Onis. He accepted it upon himself. Yesh Machmirin, V'tov Lochosh Lechatchil L'Pochum Min HaKnas. But if he gave it anyway, the get is a get which is kosher. Even if it would be a knas, according to Ramah, it would be kosher, but we wouldn't want to do it l'chadchila. Does everyone agree with Ramah's kosher with the Eved? No. Pischet Shuvah, the Yud, calls the Mishkanes Yaakov, who doesn't like it, he's very unhappy with this Nakuda. Very unhappy. Okay. So we obviously, l'chadchila, we never get involved in such a circumstance.
Where
is the Ramah? This is Ramah, Kufla, Medala, Dalit, and the Pischet Shuvah, that Yud, calls the Mishkanes Yaakov, that he's not even happy with the compromise of the Ramah, that's good, but the Eved, he's not even sure if that's true. So that's another reason why we would not want to get involved. The most poskim seem to be against the Mishkanes Yaakov, but you know, who wants to set up the Mishkanes Yaakov? For sure not. Oh. Now, there is another Pischei Tshuva here in Siman Kuf Lamed, again, I'm just talking all through this briefly, in Kuf Lamed Dalet, talks about this issue as well, and it's a citation from the Torah's Gittin. Okay, keep it in mind. I'm just to find the Ramah Malkum here from the Torah's Gittin. Sure, it's somewhere here. What's happening in the case of the Torah's Gittin? The following situation emerges. Person was involved in negotiations. Yeah, negotiations are always testy, not only today. So in the time of the Torah's Gittin, he suggests something, again the Pesachet Shuvah quotes it, that, what does it say over here? That this is a situation in which a husband obligates himself, seems to obligate himself something or other, and the husband is meichel. I'm reading to you over here from the Pesach Shuvah of Katan Tess. Okay. This is a quote from the Torah's Gittin. Shikabel abal kinyan suda shemochel kol achayuvim sheyesh li isha lisha tashmish umas yadeo afim lo yigar shena hu yisho achayuvim el shalo bezonas isha achayuvim hu memel yigar ish kemen shemonas mena kol dova hu mechuyo bekol achayuvim it's not a get musa only to shetola knas beget ma shen ken kan shena knas toli beget klal end quote of the Torah's Gittin. We're not going all to the, onto all the pratim over here. When I was involved in this parsha way, way back, so I went to a man named Rabbi Tzimba List, who told me that I was getting a little bit shver. Why? This was what we did learn about this year. What do you mean? He is meichel the chiyuv that she has towards him. So does mechila work in all these situations? Mechila work in the sense that it's irrevocable? I have in my notes that I took way, way back when. For what he had told us, which is as follows. It says as follows. Is this a new obligation or an old obligation? So, Rav Timbalist tried to prove it must be a new obligation. Why? Because if it's an old obligation, what do you mean? Look in the post, in Mishnah Lamelech, Isha's Perek Vavalach Yud, Sherek Susik Mimochem, Dama Shebimom, and Tunel Kain. But owner? Just mentioned, I think, at the most recent chavur that says it can't be mochel ona. So what does it mean, taka? It means it's right now, today, he's not requesting of her that she fulfill her obligation to him, mitzad ona. But at any moment, you can back out. Fret of symbolist, in this case, let the husband back out. And then she's going to be a moredis. If she's a moredis, then he has no obligation to her. Must me says no. It's a new chiyuv. And this new chiyuv, which he accepts upon the supporter, is that's what the why did he added a word? I read it to you before, I'll read it again. It's a cotton test in the Pesachet Shuvah. He says He says, "Hu yisha achiyuvim shalom." Pshita. What does that mean? Pshita. Obvious. The Torah says, "No, it's a nuchiyuv." And the nuchiyuv is he obligates himself to support her, even in the case where she is a moredes, such as if he backs out from his mechila, such as a moredes. Doesn't make a difference. His chiyuv is obligating him anyway. If that's the case, there's a raya for this Torah's Gittin. That a new obligation, which the husband accepts upon himself, is not considered to be a knas, as long as he doesn't mention explicitly the get in this context. So too, any agreement which is made to support a wife would not be considered to be a knas in such a circumstance. That's the proof that was brought. Fine. Obviously, what's going on over here? What's the background over here? The background is, and I quote, "Behevsher ala gerushin." They're in the divorce negotiations. Hey, man! So obviously, there's a background. I mean, you can't tie the fact that something to do it again. But not mentioned explicitly. It's okay. Adkan, but I heard from Rav Tzimba List way back when. This goes back to actually 1991. So long, more than 24 years ago when I heard this from him. And this basis, so there's a prenuptial agreement was crafted. Based on his idea, it turns out it's really a nachla shiva. But there's another problem, aside from knas. And again, the reason I'm mentioning this right now, because there's an argument that's going on mamish adayom hazeh, whether it's called a knas or not a knas. As a matter of fact, I happened to be in Eretz Yisrael, I believe it was when I was there on behalf of our yeshiva, it was I think in November, and they somehow found out that I was in the country, and there was some kind of governmental meeting about this. Believe it or not, this came out to some governmental commission. I don't know what's going on exactly.
This year?
Yeah, and after 6 months ago. And I was called in to come. I was between all kinds of things. I know exactly what it was. I just came from the shiva for Rav Tversky, Hashem Yom Kodama. I was coming from there on the way to his presentation for yeshiva, and I stopped into this meeting, which lasted hours. I thought it would just be a quick thing. Someone that, from the government, the Psegansa, Mises. And I even have a piece of paper, which as a maskeret from that meeting, right, brought with me, written by a very choshev adayan who was there, named Rab David Malka, choshev adayan, where he is upset about something called the Haskem, the Kvod Hadadi, which has been supported by various people. And he's even more upset as a Rav Be'eri. Anyone else go to Karen B'Avna here? So yeah, Rav Be'eri, he's a choshev adayan. At this meeting, which this governmental meeting, was preceded by a meeting when I was in Eretz Yisrael in Elul, where there was supposed to be a meeting with all together. Rav Be'eri called in sick. He called, but he called it on the phone. And for a whole hour, I know the phone only lasted for an hour. For a whole hour, he kept saying one thing. It's a knas, it's a knas, it's a knas. And at this meeting, 2 months later, he said, it's a knas, it's a knas. It's only one pizman, it's a knas. Rabbi Malka said, it's not a knas. You can't convince people one way or the other. But we have this little bit of a riot from this Pischa Tshuva according to the Torah's Gittin. And even in the context of Hef Shegerishin, it's not a knas, Kal v'chomer, if it's written at the before they even married. But so much so, that when I tried to bring this Pischei Tshuva and Nachla Shiva as a precedent for an agreement which we're talking about, so Rav Osher Weiss wrote a beautiful letter of Haskama to the general idea, and I have a copy of the letter somewhere here. Beautiful letter, dated, no date, unusual. I think it's about 7 years ago, if I recall. About various things, it goes to various things. And he says this. Whatever. Then he says, quotes me as saying, "She'etz zu be'etzem ta'atikahi v'aksuva b'nachla shiva shetorah simetes shem tekan ashum." And he quotes the thing. "Ein zinyan nididan t'niru l'chor v'detakon azu in shum." Ikara v'yisoda be'emes, in truth, laftiach as kiyum ha'isha v'aspokas b'zon osem. She shouldn't starve to death. 10 gold coins, right away, and 10 gold coins every month, she shouldn't starve to death. V'lo kem tzoya la'aletes habal l'garash ishto. V'im kenem is a rile nidan. But he says, despite that fact, he says, it's no chashash, it's heter gomor. There's no chashash whatsoever. It's parnasa. Biskum savir. Savir. Mezonot, keep saying mezonot, svirim. Has nothing to do with the get. Nothing to do with the get. If you have a kabbal upon yourself, a obligation to support somebody, it works as support. It's not considered to be a knas in the first place. And it's a takonazud of a godalu. And he knows himself. Case where without the shtar would have been a disaster. At any case, machloikus sinas chin agmas nefesh ein lashir, because of this document they got married more quickly. So therefore, he signs his name. See, in principle, he's very much in favor. But my raya from takon hashum, he didn't like. Why? He thought it's just a matter of a case of real support. Now I can't go into the head of what was going on, not in the 17th century, kavachom, not in the 13th century. But my take is different. I think that it was really there to the thing she should drag on indefinitely, and not worry about her bread and water to support herself. She actually could imagine, 10 gold coins. I thought it was more important as a. But I can't prove it. Nor can he, as a matter of fact. No one can prove it. The fact that it says Pizer Mazonis, I'm also saying Pizer Mazonis. But in my view, it's really fundamentally the same thing, although, again, I'm going to have to give you full disclosure. What Rabbi Weiss wrote over here. Fine. Good. What's problem number two with this ish, with this kind of an agreement? That has to do with an earlier simon in these simonim. Simon, I said, this chabur is in simon nun through nun gimel. This is nun gimel. We're back to nun. And simon nun, It's as follows. Simenun Sivov. Kshirot and Lassas have tochas l'shiduchim. Osim b'nei shelo yeh asmachto. See, here's the topic for the rest of the shiur. Is asmachto. What's asmachto mean? What's going to be a two-word translation in English? And what's an asmachto? Reliance. Okay, that's true. That's what the word means. What does it mean in our context? Asmachto lokanya, what?
Something that you don't really have in mind.
You don't really have it in mind. But it has certain technical definitions. What's called asmachto, obviously. So what are these technical definitions? So those who learned above the Metzia know that it says in the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Dalet, im over velo aver ashalem b'meitva, if I won't work, I'm the sharecropper, you're going to lose out, I'll pay you what you should have gotten in your share of the crop from meitva, from idis. That works. Im over velo aver ashalem alfazuzi, which is an exaggerated amount, it does not work. It's not smachti, except an a conditional exaggerated obligation. Has all those things, that's considered to be in the category of asmachta. So here's a problem. The case I just gave you. It's a conditional, presumably exaggerated obligation. So how do you get out of the problem of asmachta whenever you're making shiduchim? So what do you do? What do you do? It's a problem. So they make two shtaros. Oh, complicated stories, because chachmei sfar, this comes from the Rambam. In Uchas Mechira, that the Rambam has a unique shita by Asmachta. Rambam holds that Asmachta is only a problem where there is no kinyan. Whenever there's a kinyan, there's never a problem of Asmachta. The Rambam has another chiddush nifla, that to obligate yourself, you don't need a kinyan. In Choshen Rishmet Simen Mem, in Uchas Mechira, in Perek Yud Aleph, the Pasha Pshat, there's a Ketzoyis, and a Beis Yosef, and Simen Mem, not for now. So the Rambam holds that a conditional obligation with no kinyan is not valid. Okay, so what do? What you do is as follows. You make two absolute obligations, unconditional. Boy to girl and girl to boy. Those are obviously binding, right? They're unconditional. With me so far? Unconditional. Then you have two corresponding shtore mechila. If your daughter will marry my son, I'm up, and vice versa. And you put all the documents in the hands of a shlish, of a trustee. So the Rambam holds, says, mechila ain't a tzricha kinyan. You hear me? Everyone knows that. The next year, Sanhedrin. Mechila ain't a tzricha kinyan. So therefore, the mechila, even though the mechila is conditional, no problem. If something requires a kinyan and it's conditional, asmachta lo kanya. Kinyan is invalid. Mechila doesn't require a kinyan. It doesn't require a kinyan, it can be conditional. If you pull the shtick, you're the chachmei sfar. Everyone follow me so far? Instead of a conditional obligation which won't work, it's an unconditional obligation with two conditional mechilas. Mechila and tzricha kinyan. And the net result is the same. So writes the Rambam. So writes the Mechaba. Ramo. V'yesh omrim, the kol knosses she'osim v'shiduchin ein b'mishem asmachta. Toysis. Why not? Be'shmul, hatamishum boshes. It's not exaggerated. It's hard to evaluate the amount of boshes that suffered. Broken again, it could be embarrassing. Everyone knows this. It's an embarrassment. So you're paying that much money to offset the embarrassment. It's not an obligation. Not that the embarrassment would be collectible, it's boshes dvarim, but it's not an exaggeration insofar as it's hard to evaluate what exactly how much boshes is. As a matter of fact, the Beis Meir, quoting from the Beis Shmuel, this Pischa Tshuva test, Beis Shmuel said, some of the boshes not so great, it's not as smachta, says the Beis Meir, it's just like this, im over v'lo avar ashalam b'metra, above a matzir kuftalim, it's not considered to be gozim. Why? You're not chayav meitva. At most, you're chayav beninist. Not idis. So too. Mashem is chayav k'tzas yoseh midvei aboshes b'tzimtzum. It's part of meitva. Meitva. But if it's too much, a tremendous amount, alfa zuza, that would be considered a smachta. Nav kuf dalam and beis. In bava metzir. That's what the Pischet Shuvah says over here from the Beis Meir. Pischet Shuvah simenun, sif katan tes. Fine? So the Mechaber doesn't accept this. Because according to the Mechaber, even if it's not an exaggeration, any conditional obligation is no good. That's the Rambam Shita. According to the Ramah, only an exaggerated sum is considered to be in the category of Asmachta. And this is not necessarily an exaggerated sum. Fine. Would the Ramah accept the Mechaber? By Nachach Meisvar? Not completely clear. It's a totally different approach to the whole issue of Asmachta. Fine. What? I'm not hearing you.
Kenyan Suda?
Oh. What about a Kenyan Suda? Can a Kenyan Suda okam asmachta? According to the Rambam, presumably yes. Because the Rambam says the only time it's an asmachta is you mischive yourself with no Kenyan. Whenever there's a Kenyan. So the Rambam writes, there's a Kenyan, of course, every Kenyan of Chalipin has to be what? Sugan Ksubas, Me'achshav. Because otherwise it's called Kol Sukinyano, Hadvis Suda, the Marmar Nadarim. So therefore, every Kenyan Suda, which is Me'achshav, by definition, would overcome any asmachta problem, presumably according to the Rambam, at first glance. I repeat, at first glance. Not done yet. Now,
he's
Boki all and all Shulchan Aruch. Very good. We'll come to Beis. We'll
not
come.
At all.
Okay. Parts of all Chalke Shulchan Aruch. We'll say that. Okay. Parts of all Chalke Shulchan Aruch. Fine. So, this is an interesting question, which the Taz talks about at great length from the perspective of Asmachta, yes Asmachta, no Asmachta, as the case may be. Of course, the problem is, if it's an Asmachta, how in the world can the Snach L'Shiva work in Siman Tes? Machmas Idu K'tat Yom HaKata Kanashun. There too, it's a conditional obligations. So of course you'll say, well, who cares? The Ramah holds, if it's not exaggerated sum, it's not a problem in Asmachta. So there's no problem whatsoever. Right? It's not exaggerated sum at all. There were those who have qualms, and they claim that perhaps the Takana Shum is not at all a precedent for what we're discussing, not because Takana Shum was just a feeder, doesn't do what they get. Whereas with this custom, which has to do what they get. That's what some want to suggest. That's what Moshe Weiss wants to suggest. I'm not sure if that's correct. But for a totally different reason. If you look in, we said before, in Siman Nun Gimel, can have minig poshup in Medinas Elu, Rashi Noagin, Bezak Takana Skila Shum, as I said to you before. And therefore, Hefka Bezan Hefka. Hefka bezen hefka. There's nothing to discuss about smachta kayak. Hefka bezen hefka. Anything goes. Hefka bezen hefka. That's an excellent point. That would refute any proof with respect to a smachta that we're not worried about some sheet or other that says that any conditional obligation would fall prey to the knockout of a smachta lokanya. But that would be true only if it works on the situation where it's Minig HaMedina. Is it Minig HaMedina? So if you look at the Pischa Tshuva over here, in Simon again, Simon Nun Gimel, Sivkotten, Yud Gimel, where this is discussed, this is as follows. Oh. He says, depends. In Medina's Poland, Kiblu takana shum b'chol ha-medina. Mehai taima in porto na takana. Gemen mekabel kinyam en etzchos en rakala azeh. Tchuh. En echanami. Hefke bez en hefke. Takana in Poland. Even if you didn't know about it, doesn't matter. Ach, medina's ashkenaz. De nogu lifro tzaka mekabel kinyam azeh. Then if you don't know the minig, it's you don't know what the minig is. See, clearly it seems to me that in Ashkenaz it was not based on Hefka, based on Hefka. Based on Hefka, based on Hefka, then what do you care? Who needs Kabbalah? Can you from the Chosin? Who cares? You do or don't know? It's irrelevant. So it seems to me from Minig Ashkenaz, it implies that if there's any issue of Asmachta, it was addressed already in Shum, and again by the Nachla Shiva, and how they overcome it. So again, if you hold like it's an Ashkenazi document. If you hold like the Ramah, any reasonable sum is not a problem of a smach, as we saw before. Again, I don't know how much tens uvim was in Nachal Shiva's time. Can you do some research for me? What was tens uvim in Poland in the 17th century when the Nachal Shiva lived per month? Was that today like, I don't know, $4,000 a month? $400 a month? $40,000 a month? I have no clue what it is in today's dollars. What tens uvim was. If you can find out for me, I appreciate it. Look in the library, so I don't know what it is. Zuvim in Poland. That's where it was written, although it would apply to Ashkenaz too. I'm not sure what their Zuvim were like. Things could be very wildly from one country to another. So if you find that, please let me know. In any event, Rabbi Osai, I thought it was not an issue of Asmachta based upon this. There is, although Asmachta is discussed over here in Simon, yes? No. In Simon Nun and Ebenezer to some extent. As was pointed out, the real main place where Asmachta is found is not in Evan Ezra, but it's in Choshen Mishpat, Simon Reish Zayin. And that's where some of these same issues are brought up once again, and they are relevant to today's discussion. Let's quote again briefly. Okay. The Ramah says as follows. Some say Asmach is only if it's taking a chance, you don't really expect to pay it. Tosfos says three levels. You have some expertise, it's pure chance. I'm going to go into this whole Mos Aladaf. There's the whole issue with horse racing, which is now in the headlines. Because they have a new definition of the Triple Crown. I thought I learned in Pirkei Avos this week. It says Kester Kuna, Kesa, Torah, Kesa, Malchus. But apparently those who don't know, the rest who don't know anything, they're better off that way. Okay. So that was Sacha Bekuvia, a whole Arichas. Says the Mechaber, Yudalit, from the Rambam. Koloma Knei Me'achshav, Enkan Asmach, the Klal, Ukona. The Rambam says Asmach is only when there's no Kenyan. He says Me'achshav, because without Me'achshav, Kenyan Suter is meaningless. Says the Rambam, Bezen Choshev is a sugya in the Dorim. What's today's daf in the Dorim? Father doing a daf today? No, he does daf. Okay, so he's around now somewhere. Okay, fine. Soon. So, a couple of weeks.
which
Reish Zion Sif Yud Dalet. 10 more days. Okay. Fine. That's all discussion. Then the Mechaber says, Asmachta shekona ole bebezen choshev, harei zekona. Here the bezen choshev is found. Right? Bezen choshev. And it's kona. What does that mean? So the Ramah, kol shlosha de beki bedine asmachta vikri bezen choshev in yinzeh. Some say that most choshev, and they write Bezen Choshev, what? It's not true. Doesn't matter. Hodos Baldin Kemedim Dami. If a guy admits he did it, Bezen Choshev, he didn't do anything. There was no Bezen Choshev, there was no Kenyan, there was no Meyach, no nothing. He admits to it, Hodos Baldin Kemedim Dami, Rabbi Osai, Kuf, Reish Zayin Sif, Tes Vov. In Tes Zayin, he quotes Chachme Sfart, which we saw earlier here in our Simon and Simon and Simon Nun. Fine. Here he quotes again. Shaduchim is not a problem. Kedayu she yischayev achozu abekenas of mei aboshes shabiyish es chaveru. Can I minik poshet b'chol glilos elu? Finished. In any event, this is what it's all about. So now, let's go back. So this takona shum, nachol shivus emetes, why is it not a problem of smachta? So we could say a number of reasons. Number one, it's reasonable, it's not exaggerated. Number two, we could overcome it, even if you don't accept that, by simply doing a kinyan me'achshav, throw in for good measure, a bezel choshev, and it's no problem. Fine. But we have to be truthful. There is a problem. It could be asmacht according to some authorities, and I'm the first to admit that in my view, it is in fact an asmacht according to the Rambam Sheet. My whole dog is bald and commanded them. According to the Amam Shita. If you give me a tour, Chosh and Mishvet, Simon Kuf Lamed Aleph. Just look, show you something interesting, fascinating. In the Kuf Lamed Aleph and the tour of Chosh and Mishvet. I want to read you a little bit. Thank you very much. So one of the sugyas of Asmacht is a sugya of Orev. Although that's what, maybe the main sugya in the end of Baba Basra. Every Orev is an Asmachta. So, but yeah, no, that you believe me, I'm the guarantor, and you're relying on me. You don't trust the Lord, but he's going to be trusting me. I'm a Chosh of a Yid. Maybe a Reich Yid, whatever it may be. I have a little Anah. So that's how the obligation takes effect. So fine. This is quoted here in the tour in Simon Kuf Lamed Aleph. Oh. Kosta Varamba. Orem Shashiba Atzmal Tanai. Afal Pisha Kona Biodo. Lo Mishtabe. Shizu Yas Machta. Whoops. Kona Biodo. Kona Biodo. Gonna be. I just told you before going to the Rambam, Konrad is never a problem. Never a problem. I believe the correct answer to this question is it depends. Asmachta could be a problem both in terms of a transference of property as well as in terms of an acceptance of an obligation. In many ways, accepting an obligation is the bar is higher. My read of the Rambam is that acceptance of an obligation is a much higher level of das which is required, and therefore, even if it's kona miyodo, the ischaibus is not chal. It's not chal, even though kona miyodo, and presumably kona miyodo is meyachshav. Otherwise, it's standard that the kona miyodo is worthless. Pipshuta. Keta. Oh, maybe shas matan mos. Tein lo mani orav im yekach vekach im lo yekach vekach lo yishtavein. No good. Shekol atol shibud sheino chaybo. Kim be'im, yeah be'im lo yeah, lo gama makna. The lashon gemara, Bava says, "Kol de'i lo kana." Rama seems to refer to a hischaibus. Goes on further. This is a further lashon, a further lashon, okay, a further lashon. Afal gab the kol orev havias machta. The yomar im lo yifra lo vani efra v'im yifra lo chol lo efra. Shani kolarev, shlotolo shibudo bedavar acher, uvahi ano de mehemele gomer umakne. Aval hocha kevin shlotolo shibudo betnai, a different tnai, lo gomer umakne de samche shiskaim atnai, lo shibit. Aval im konomine meachshav shiskaile b'momen zem iskaim atnai, hakol lefitno, shakol kinyam meachshav, eva mishim asmachto, adkan. Adkan who? Ad kan hu. Says the Beis Yosef. The Rambam stops at Logomer Umakne. That's the rest. That's Mishnaic Hebrew. Everything after that is in Aramaic and all that. That's not the Rambam anymore. It's Lashon Rabbeinu. It's the Torah. So now, the question is: how do we paskin over here? How do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? That's what counts. How do we pass it in Shulchan Aruch? So Shulchan Aruch quotes this Tur Beferish and says, Kinyan, he says, Kinyan Meyachshav, don't want to schaive us over here. Ein Mabishim Asmacht, look up, it's Kuf Lamed Aleph, I think it's Sif Yud, in the Shulchan Aruch over here.
It's
Kinyan Suda. Kinyan Suda, yeah. So here's, I'm left with a fascinating dichotomy. The Rambam himself, I believe, holds that his chayvus wouldn't work if it's conditional, even with a kinyan meyachshav. Because the Rambam stops over here. But the Shulchan Aruch, who goes on, but quoting the next five lines, seems to disagree, halacha lemaisa, and say that his chayvus with the kinyan meyachshav, in fact, would be effective. Kavachomer, what we call the bezin choshev, If it never happened, he'd miss as if it happened. That's why I thought, Aloha Lamaisa, that this, notwithstanding the fact that I concede, according to the Rambam, Ischaivus Al Hatnai, Kinyan Me'achshav Bezel Choshev would not be effective. But Aloha Lamaisa, we follow the Shulchan Aruch, it would be effective. And when it comes to what we call Hilchos Kimli, comes in, push comes to shove, I want to hold this way. So the general principle is you can say Kimli like the Mechaber, Kimli like the Ramah, but other than that, it's a particular problem. It's a million Kimlis. The number of poskim is almost boundless. And since the Mechaber, if I have him correctly over here, hold that a Schaivus with a Kinya Me'achshav would work, so I wouldn't be worried about the problem of Asmachta for that reason as well. Now, but who's against me in this matter? Big problem. Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv has a tshuva. Not about this, in a different context. It's in Kovitz Tshuvas. I don't think we have it here in this room. It's Simon, if I'm not mistaken, Simon Kuf Samach Gimel. He writes, the Rambam, and I think it's announced the Rambam, not that he's by Askama, is right on. Therefore, in a particular case where there was a divorce settlement agreement, which involved something exactly like this, Rav Yashiv says we can't enforce it because according to the Rambam, it's an asmachta. I agree to Rambam that way, but we don't follow the Rambam, if I understand correctly. The Mechaber himself, who quotes this Rambam, here in Kuf Lamed Aleph, at the end of the day, says, Kinyan Me'achshav works. So, just saying, Rav Yashiv just quotes from the Rambam, doesn't quote the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Lamed Aleph, Sifyud, I'm left with a bit of a quandary. Okay. But then the question becomes, what would Rav Yashiv think about a prenuptial agreement such as the one that we discussed? Would it, in fact, run a risk of asmachta? It's an interesting question. I think I know the answer. I think the answer is no. Because the question becomes, why not? Why, if not, why not? How I know the answer is no. Because Rav Yashiv, I spoke to him a little bit about these kinds of things. His main objection, which is printed in Moriah, Tovshin Memches, talking about quite a few years ago, 1988, was that the person who would sign it wouldn't know what he's signing. Okay, that's certainly possible. But the question is, so what? I don't have it in front of me. In Simon Samach Vav, which is what I think at the very beginning of the year, it seems to say beferish, at the end of the Simon, that the guy says, I didn't know what I signed. You can't make such a claim. If you signed, you're bound by what you signed. If you didn't bother reading the fine print, it's still binding upon you. That was his objection. He had some other objections based upon something called a second court, which is fakert, not true. If they signed this prenuptial agreement with all of its maximal jurisdiction to the best, and that's the time that Tafka will not go to secular court. As a matter of fact, Rav Yashiv was one of the people who was so worried about the get law, which I'm down to talk about again next year with the Gittin. The way out of the get law is to sign an agreement to go to Bezin on monetary issues, and then the get law doesn't apply to you. It's the only real way out if you're living in New York to get out of it. Oh. But I never heard a smachter from Rav Yashiv himself. And if he thought, I believe, if he thought it was really going to be a problem, he would have not hesitated to say so and to write so and to all kinds of things which he was capable of doing in many situations of this type. But the question, of course, was why not? Why didn't he say it? I think the answer is back over here, where we came from. Simon Nun Alf. So we're going to cover from Nun to Nun Gimel. So actually, Nun Beis in some prints is Nun Beis and Gimel is one. Have you seen that? I don't know why exactly. Here they split it, but the classical ratio, you probably have. It's Nun Beis, Nun Gimel. I said, Vichos Ribbis, they have one similar like that. I'm not sure what the history behind that is. You can let me know about that too. Right, but here, so in Nun Aleph, which is the one thing we haven't seen yet, is another Gemara of Masechta Ksubos we spoke about, I think, earlier this year. It's about Kiddushin as well. It's more famous from Kiddushin at the beginning. The Yeshiva has learned it. And then Ksubos is much later on, the very end. What does it say? Ish v'isha shebish ein b'nem shiduchin. Omala kamat machneses li. Kach v'kach. Amar lo kamat anosnik, or kosli kach v'kach. O av, omdu v'kitchu, kona osin advarim, af al pish lo hoya b'neim kinyin, hein advarim aniklim bambiro. Famous Gemara. You familiar the Gemara? And the Ksubas, I mean, Kedushin. Hein advarim aniklim bambiro. Now you'll say it only applies to this limited case. No. Because of a Yashiv, in the other volume, again, Aleph or Beis, the same Siman number, that's the quirk. I think it's Kuf Samar Gimel. Has the following Shaila, which always bothered me for years, I never knew the answer. How can any Tosefes Ksuba be valid? It's always Asmacht. I repeat. How can any Tosefes Ksuba be valid? It's always Asmacht. It's a conditional obligation. I mean, according to the Rambam, it's certainly conditional, only if he divorces her or predeceases her. If she dies first, it's not collected. Some write these humongous sums. When I went to visit Rav Tzimbel List that year, way back, 91, he asked me to meet him in the Beis Din, and I'm sitting there in the anteroom, and the two guys going at it. The other two they already left. I saw them taking their coats from the way out, and they were left only with their Av Beis Din. They're fighting about a ksuba, said, a million shkolim. A million shkolim. So the wife's brought, okay, I want, not after those, I want a million shkolim. And the guy said, what are you, crazy? A million shkolim, that's all you said. We never meant that. You've got out of your mind. So he says, fine. But as Rav Moshe said, with respect to how much a ksuba is worth, it's almost irrelevant nowadays. It's all negotiations. So Rav Moshe writes in Chelek Dalim, we spoke about it once before. So he told him, go negotiate and come back. So he threw him out. The kitzah. But in a case in which it is relevant, Tosef Ksuba is relevant. Let's say they get, she took a get on the condition, not a condition, she's no Mechilas Ksuba, she wants Bezin to pass it after the get. How much is entitled to a Ksuba? Tosef Ksuba. Gewalt, that's machta. Every Tosef Ksuba, that's machta. You want to know, according to the Ramah, is it a reasonable sum or is it an unreasonable sum? Ramah is a fascinating line, and that's true, it's not a topic for today, but it's a fascinating line in his Tshuva and Chelek Dalet or Ebenezer, where he says like this, in the olden days, he doesn't say Bezeh Loshem, that's what it seems to be indicating. In the olden days, Masayim Zuz was enough to live on for a year. That's a Mishnah and Peah. If you have that amount of money, you can knock on the door and collect Peah. Tiferes Yisrael, the last Perek and Peah on that Mishnah says, and I heard, or I saw, that's why Ksuba is Masayim Zuz. So she should be able to support herself for an entire year. You with me? How much is Masayim Zuz today? You want to figure out, take out your phone and figure out what Masayim Zuz is today? What is it? Masayim Zuz? Oh, that's not the question. How much is Pidyon Eben? You're a Pekoyin. How much is Pidyon Eben these days? How many dollars is Pidyon Eben? 50, 60, 70? 30. Have you ever done Pidyon HaBen in your life?
How
many dollars do you have to give for Pidyon HaBen? You need 5 shkolim. $100 max. Maybe. Huh? You're a coin.
$500.
5 silver dollars. That's it against the Mesa.
100 grams is 50.
100 grams. That's a max. What's 100 grams in dollars today?
$52.
$52. That's it. Masayim Zuz. It's 50 shkolim. Kesef Shmorah Psulus. The ganze ksuba is $520. Who can live on $520 for a year? That's $10 a week, exactly. I remember saying Europe on $5 a day. $10 a week. And shaykh. So Rav Moshe seems to indicate not sure. If you give me Rav Moshe, even as a chelek dala, I'll read you the relevant passage if I can find it. Again, it's not our main topic for today. Now, that's the point of Tosefes Ksuba. The point of Tosefes Ksuba is that she should not have to. Tiferes Yisrael says in Masech Tepeah that Ksuba itself is enough to live on for a year. That was in the olden days. Now that it's no longer enough, so you need more. This is in Simon Sadi Aleph. Tosefes Ksuba. Why? By having more money, how many times the Ksuba is the Tosefes Ksuba? Okay, this is, you can figure it out, my friend, Rabbi David. Rabbi Moshe Paskins, Tosefes Ksuba is 100 pounds of silver. Meyer Funt, as he called it. How many times is Meyer Funt times, what do we say? 1,000 grams, right? That's 100 grams is Pidyon HaBen. 1,000 grams is Ksuba.
100
grams or 100 pounds? No, no. 1,000 grams. You have to get a ratio over here. What's 1,000 grams? How many times 1,000 grams is 100 pounds? You should be able to figure it out.
100 grams times 1,000 grams times.
I want to know. Okay, I'll ask the final question. 100 pounds, how many grams is it? That should be easy to figure out, right? 100 pounds. I don't have any computers. 100 pounds is how many grams?
Forty thousand grams.
That means if a ksuba is 1,000 grams, so the Tosefes Ksuba is 45 times the Ikar Ksuba. That's Rav Moshe's psak. You with me? 45 times. So if Rav Moshe, now then, number one, it'll be Kalabain of Lotzia. I mean, for $520, who's not going to divorce his wife? They're going to keep you back. You go to the gas station, you have to fix a part, it costs you more than that. Now you multiply $500, 45, what did I just say before? 45,000 times that was less, about 20, was it? $22,000, right? Something like that. Okay, at least it's a double. Maybe with Simpson Rob, you can live on $22,000. Maybe. I don't think it's for most people to live on that much, small amount of money, but okay, but Doha Godo, perhaps it's possible. That's very much your rights. They left Tosefes Ksuba, even though it really should be less because there was silver change in the rubles and the czar. That's how much you should collect. Then he goes to another detail. Then he says, "Well, the host of the Fiyah Umdana, Mashahoyu Shavim Yoser, Kshahoyu Matbeos, Shrechiv Ksubahu Matbeos, Velo Benaska." But the Mil Sacharata Shemek Abshara. But Moshe says you have to add, because we're talking about Kesef Tsarev in silver. But in the olden days, when they coined it, they minted it, it was worth more money. If the coin wasn't worth more than the silver, they just melted them all down. Has to be worth more. How much more, we have no idea. Now, it seems to me, the Rosh is saying this only about the Tosefes Ksuba. Because Tosefes Ksuba is an obligation which you take upon yourself. I cannot obligate myself to give you at some future date X amount of silver, metal silver. I can take a particular metal silver bar. This I'm giving to you. That I can do. It's yours from now. But I'm going to obligate myself to give you a ben. The pashas doesn't work. You mischive yourself. You mischive yourself to a monetary sum. That's what Moshe writes. It's not bayah. I think, as a matter of fact, if you look at the Tosfos and the Ksuba stuff, Yudim and Aleph, they're bothered by the Kasha. Mishnah says in Kuf Yud, Mos Kaputkia, Mos Eretz Yisrael. In fact, Tosfos and Kasha, they have no Teretz. Tosfos and Rosh even more sharp as no Teretz. What's going on over here? Kaputkia, it's all irrelevant. You get to give, what do we say, 1,000 grams of silver. What Kaputkia? Who gets a Kaputkia? It's irrelevant. Tosfos lies by a Kasha. I thought the answer might be, there's always Tosfos Ksuba. Tosfos writes there in Ksubas, the beginning of Afalpi, the minute was to give 100 liter. Liter is a pound. You know, libra, liter, it's all the same thing. Look at the form of coins. Libra, liter, funt, pound, it's all the same thing. So there was, so Moshe quotes it, that's what Moshe says. Mea funt kesef tzarev. But you can't obligate yourself to that for Tosefes. That's why Moshe says it's really you're obligating yourself coins. So I must tell you that I was always, I once was at a wedding, and a rabbi got up and said, listen, marriage should last forever, and if it breaks up, you have to give $100, which is the amount of $100, a hundred pounds of silver that day. I always thought the rabbi was wrong, because you look at the Sfar, they say, the Chiyuk Suba is according to the Shas HaPiron, and they get divorced, or if he dies. Not, why do we know about these things? How much is the beginning of the tshuva? Because the next tshuva, he says, never comes to reality. Why not? Because ksuba is usually mechilas aksuba by a get. But it comes to a yerusha, there's a will. And where there's a will, there's a fight. But they're not going to fight about this small amount of money. So nobody knows what it is. But I'll write you anyway what it is. I had a case. I might have told you a story in the earlier chabura. There was a get. The get was given the same day, and the father started yelling at me, the whole story. So then she wanted a ksuba. So I wanted to say, Mishum Yosha should give the amount the last you need to live for a whole year, based upon the Teferis Yisrael. So they don't knock me down. So then there are different levels. I spoke the last time. What's the ratio of Tosefes ksuba to a ksuba? I think according to the Chazon Ish, it's 60 times as much, or Moshe 45 times as much. I believe some say it's 20 times as much, some say even less than that. So there was a question what to do exactly with that, and I was told I'm also Mechabel of a riot at the time. Smaller, Reb Chaim Noah, is a very small amount, which may be based on a Drisha, with the Drisha backed out. Not going into that whole Indian again. In any event, Reb Osai, this is a serious discussion. Reb Moshe puts it over here. This is what a Ksuba, why isn't it the whole thing in a Smachta B'Alma? I'll say for Ashkenazim, it's a small amount of money. Even the Chazon Ish is amount of money. It's not so much. It's probably less than what needs to live for a year. How much does it we leave it until 7th where it is, so you live for a year, presumably, along those lines. Whereas, it's not enough. But according to the Rambam, and those who hold the Rambam, Yoshev's Chosh for the Rambam Shita, any conditional obligation, even with the Kabbalah's Kinyan, is not going to work, because of Asmachta, what do you do over here? So Rabbi Yoshev was asked a kasha about the ksuba, and he gave an answer. And the answer is Simen Nun Aleph. Hein advarim aniknim b'amira. So according to the Rambam, Mechila is not subject to Asmachta, because Mechila is Shvicha Kinyan. But the same token over here, whatever is in a prenup is mamish right before the wedding. Kamatos the bincha mitchayin b'amnik b'amira. And therefore, even if it would be normally an asmachta, it wouldn't matter. The same as Tosefes Ksuba, which should be an asmachta, it doesn't matter. As Rabbi Yoshua himself says in the corresponding tshuva in the Yod HaChelik, one is Aleph and Beit, they both, I think, Kuf Samakim. That's why Libi Omali, Rabbi Yoshua never cried out, it's an asmachta problem, it's a disaster. He never said that because, again, I'm giving you my pshat in that reticence on his part. And they may have worried about asmachta a little bit. Perhaps he was thinking about this, his own tshuva, that is no problem with smachta, as we see in here in Simen Nun Aleph, by Dvar Ma'niknim Ba'amir, which don't require a kinyan, the same as Mechila, according to the Tzchach Me'svar, etc. So what we spoke about today is Simen Nun, and we had now Simen Nun Aleph, and Simen Nun Gimel, which is maybe the same as in Beis. We covered all the highlights of all the four Simen. There are those who don't want to rely upon anything I said today, and of course, 100%. I think I once spoke to Rabbi Yaakov about this, and they could just phrase it a little differently, right? Instead of saying, which is a more natural and understandable to the average ear or eye of a married couple, that, you know, in case the marriage breaks up and they're no longer living together, and if they're under the same roof, so presumably he's paying for her. Right, whatever he's paying. Once they split up, likely he's not. We already spoke about in the past chabur whether he's obligated by or not. It probably depends upon whose fault it is, which he'll never be able to figure out. So he obligates himself to pay it. But those who don't like that, there's a different formulation. Tell me if I get it right. The man gets married, obligates himself to his wife. We say today $150 a day from the get-go. unconditionally. Unconditionally. It's unconditional, then it has to work, right? Correct? Unconditional. It's not doing a smacht at all. Every day, I'm unconditionally obligating myself $150 every single day. Then you put in a clause. What does the clause say? That for as long a time as the wife lives in the same house as her husband, she forgives this obligation. And that with the same net result, in a less elegant, and it will raise many more eyebrows to the uninitiated, but to the initiated, it's a smoother ride. Since 99.9 people are uninitiated, that's why this goes the way it is. The 0.1% who are initiated want to have a different document. I'm not even sure the document exists in a form that we can give out. Maybe it's just time to make it for those who want to have this opinion. I believe Rabbi Bleich would prefer this opinion, and I certainly would encourage anybody who has qualms based on knas, based on asmachta, based on whatever, no problem. Whether the knas people are going to consider this a knas, probably not. Even if the guys do obligated from the first minute of the marriage, even though it's pretty transparent, all of a sudden she's merchel as long as she's with him and not merchel the other part, you can figure that out too, what it's really driving at. But maybe they would agree that it would not be called a knas. I think this even Rav Berry might agree in that kind of a case. I spoke to him. I wouldn't vouch for it, but I think perhaps.
But that one, they're chayiv even if they go to Bezdin, meaning until the get is given.
All the cases chayiv. Now, in our obligation is a problem. It's a problem even in this obligation as well.
There is a time.
No. Here's the problem. The problem is as follows. In both, either way I formulated, what will happen?
But the formulation is that...
Here's the problem. Either formulation, as far as the husband's obligation, whether it's going to be only from the time they break up, or from the very beginning, and she's merchel only while she's living in the house, the problem is, hey, she can dump him and live in easy street for the rest of her life. Ad bias agoyel. The one's the guy, or ad misas habal, whichever comes first. Right? You hope the bias agoyel comes first. But the poor husband is forced to support her. That's not equitable. It's not fair. So that's why it's written in these documents either way, that if the husband summons the wife to Bezin and she refuses to abide by the determination or by the recommendation, or she refuses to show up by the Bezin, then the obligation terminates. That's only fair to put in as a safety device. It shouldn't be misused. I told you maybe about it once before. I'll repeat it just for repetition's sake. We had a case like this, and the woman wanted to get, so the husband came right away to Bezin as soon as they were able to get to Bezin. It took a while until they got to Bezin. That's sometimes, administrative and scheduling problems. And he said, I'll give the get right now, today, no problem, right? No, she wanted first go to secular court, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She said no. It took 3 years until they went to secular court. After 3 years, they're up, you gave her the get right away. And then this lady sends him a bill for $100,000 for back support for the prenup. Came to the Bezin. But here's the key. Everything has to go to a Bezin. That's where I have over here from Rabbi Malka and from Rabbi Lavi from Tzfat, who made bigger headlines since then. But he writes over here, this Hesken quantity is no good. It's nothing close to what Rabbi Zalman Nechemi Goldberg and others have signed on, which was our document from so many years before. Because there, by us, comes to a Bezin. There, don't do a Bezin. You obligate yourself, this could be, let's go to secular court. No self-respecting Dayan is going to agree to that kind of a thing. Fine. So it came to our Bezin, and there was a dispute within the Bezin. What was the dispute? Not about all the money. That was ridiculous. The first $10,000 for the first 3 months till they got to the secular court. Khalil. Till they got to the Bezin. 3 months went by, no one's fault, just... So two Dayanim thought that $10,000, he has to pay. I mean, what can you do? He obligated himself, they split up, he has to pay. And one Dayan thought not that way. Both sides appealed. We have an appeal system in our Bezdin. She wanted a full $100,000, and he said nothing. So Rabbi Schwartz, Shlita, our Bezdin, sometimes gives it over to us. He gave it over to me to give an appellate decision. I gave an appellate decision that he's obligated to pay zero. even though if you look at it on its, just, you know, just look at the piece of paper, perhaps it's not that way. But I gave a number of reasons why we look at some of these the intent of the people who signed the Shtagah. And the other considerations, it's, actually I think it's printed in one of the Besn of America journals that came out. If I'm not mistaken, I think the...
Doesn't it usually take a few months to get to the Besn?
Shouldn't. Shouldn't. And the man should scream, I want a session today. It's costing me every day. It's costing me. I want it today. Have a Skype session. Because of that, anyway, but there's two histories. Number one, what happened? So, the lady went to secular court in Maryland to overturn my capricious and irrational decision. Because you can't overturn arbitration unless it's irrational or it's corrupt. It wasn't corrupt, Baruch Hashem. It was irrational. The judge in Maryland says, what do you mean? This judge is great, this Dayan. Everything he said is great. It makes perfect sense. But because of that, we added a line into our prenup which says that if the woman wants to collect the sum, the desired sum, she has to send a letter to the husband that she intends to collect the sum as of now with return receipt requested. And then yes, you can just go 3 years later and give an extra back pay with this. That was never the intent in the first place. But to close that hole, if you will, that sentence was added into this document. Any questions before I conclude? So you'll work on the document. You'll find out about the money.
I have a version of the document.
But I thought it wasn't good. I thought
it's okay. It's not fancy. It's not printed in a nice, pretty way.
Maybe I may see it again. I want to see it. Okay. Print it out for me. And then find about the coins.
And the coins and the sum and the
money. Yeah. Okay. There's supposed to be a chabur next Thursday. The final chabur. Who sang it? No one in this room. I thought somebody had it still old as a chabur.
Might be a Ferrari.
Maybe. Well, will people be around next Thursday? Hope so. Good. Okay. It's next Thursday at 3:00. Yeah.